Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. My father was raised in the hills of Tennessee. He was raised in a place called Stinking Creek. That's a lovely lyrical name for a place, isn't it? One of the aspects of the place that he lived was that they had poisonous snakes, water moccasins, copperheads. Daddy could identify all of them. And he learned from a young age to respect those snakes, to steer clear, and also to defend himself if a snake came close. And so Daddy had a keen eye, and he was able to pick up rocks and kill snakes with one throw. It was demonstrated to me when I was about 9 years old. He took us to Stinking Creek, and we were hiking along the mountain trail, he and Mom and we girls, and all of a sudden, a copperhead came across the path that my mother was on, and before the scream left her lips, Daddy had picked up a rock and broke that snake's neck. I was really impressed. I wanted to bring the dead snake back for show and tell, and they wouldn't let me, so all I could do was tell the story of Daddy and this snake. I was very happy that we were raised in New York City because there weren't any poisonous snakes in New York City. There weren't any room for snakes in New York City. I think there were garden snakes here and there, and that freaked me out enough. But all the poisonous snakes were down south, so I determined that when I grew up, I was not going to live anywhere near poisonous snakes. There are some areas of the country where that's the way of life, and you have to respect it, and you have to steer clear of them. The place where the Israelites were camping out was called the wilderness. It was a desert area, and there were certain things about that desert that were normative. There were scorpions and snakes. There was lack of water, and there was lack of food. But for 38 years, we never hear of a report that the Israelites died from lack of water, from thirst. When they couldn't find water, it was found for them by God. When they couldn't find food, God rained bread from heaven. And those pesky snakes, somehow, whenever they made camp, there were no snakes. Isn't that interesting? In a wilderness place. Until one day, when they started to gripe. And I can understand their griping. They had been at this journey 38 years, and they still weren't at the place that God had promised them. So I could understand them griping. In fact, by this time, two charismatic leaders had died, Miriam and Aaron. A lot of people had died in the desert just from old age and infirmity. And they were still wandering. At this particular juncture, they had tried to go through the land of Edom. They were first cousins of the people of Edom. Edom's race was Esau, and Israel's race was Jacob. They were brothers. And so when they went to Edom and said, "Can we travel through?" the Edomites said, "Not on your life." And so they had to go around, and their journey was even longer. And so they griped, and they complained, and they said to Moses, "You've brought us out here to die, and by the way, we hate this detestable food." Well, the detestable food they were talking about was the miracle of God, the miracle of manna. Now, it wasn't the tastiest, but it kept them alive. But I guess by this time, that wasn't enough for them. And so they griped, And so the snakes that used to scurry away whenever the Israelites happened to be, all of a sudden those snakes were around, and the people were dying of snake bite. And then they came and said, "Oops, I guess maybe we shouldn't have complained. Moses, we've sinned against you and God. Would you please ask God to take this away?" And I always find that amusing because it's so like us, our human nature. When do we feel bad? When we get caught. When there are consequences to our sin, that's when we feel bad. I love it when I see something on TV, a criminal who is begging for the mercy of the court and talking about how remorseful that person is. Well, of course, because their lives are on the line and they know they're going to jail. We understand that. When we get caught, we feel badly. And so they felt badly and they said, "You've got to tell God to take this away." And Moses, I'm sure, prayed and said, "Lord, take away those serpents. Get rid of them. Make them scurry out." And the Lord did not. He said, "Moses, I want you to do something. I want you to get a pole, and I want you to form a figure of a snake and put that pole up. And when the people get bitten, I want them to look at the pole and they will live." What God did, instead of ridding the people of the snakes, was he found a way to turn an object of fear and death into an object of hope. We see the caduceus when we look at symbols for doctors, for healers. God changed that. And when Jesus came along, there was another pole, a pole that was used for execution, a pole that was used to terrorize the people, a pole of death. And Jesus said, "When I'm lifted up on that pole, it's going to be transformed into life eternal." Where are you in your wilderness journey? Oft times I have prayed, "Lord, heal my friends. Lord, remove diseases that take people too young. Lord, bring peace on the earth. Lord, protect the people I love. Lord, change the hearts of evil people." And the Lord does not. But what he does is plant eternity in my heart by looking at the cross and seeing not an instrument of torture, but an instrument of hope. And he reminds me of the miracles that are around me every day. When I woke up this morning, it was a miracle. When I could put my feet on the ground, it was a miracle. When I have food on the table, it's a miracle. When I have the strength in my body to take care of my daily needs, it's a miracle. When I walk out this place and see the beauty of nature, it's a miracle. And so often in my wilderness wanderings, all I can see is my lack and not the miracle. God has planted eternity in our hearts. So tomorrow morning when I get up, I'm going to still pray for peace on earth. I'm going to still pray for the people I know who are suffering. But in all the little deaths that we experience, the deaths sometimes of our hopes and dreams, the deaths of our aspirations, the deaths of loved ones, the deaths of relationships, I hope we remember and say the next day, "This is a day of new beginnings. This is a day of miracles. Whatever happens today, God has planted eternity in my heart, and nothing can take that away." Let us pray. Lord, I ask that that one who is in the wilderness, that one who is tired of life and all of life's challenges, will this day see eternity by looking up to you. We thank you, Lord, not for erasing the problems, but giving us hope and strength and peace throughout our lives. We ask that you would plant eternity in our hearts this day, and each day you give us breath in our bodies. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.